Hey everybody, this is Alex Merced from alexmerced.com. This is sort of my end of year look back, just kind of talking about sort of how my year went. And overall, I know this was like a rough year, just in general for everybody around the world with COVID and a lot of the lockdowns and just sort of like this really sort of isolated life that people had to live. I had the good fortune of just having sort of like one of my best years actually this year. And let me just kind of talk a little bit about what I mean by that. I mean, the year started off like I decided a transition in career mid-2019, transitioning from training people in the finance industry to software development. So I did a boot camp that went from September 2019 to December 2019 with General Assembly, which I thought was a worthwhile experience. I'm very thankful to the company General Assembly and the culture and everything about General Assembly. I am glad they exist. But then afterwards, basically what happened is that I ended up getting two job offers, one to actually instruct with General Assembly, mainly because I would create videos to help show some of my other fellow students things that they got stuck on and they kind of noticed and decided to offer me a role with them, which has been a wonderful experience. I've never worked at a company with such a positive internal culture and a company that work that where everyone cares so much about each other's work-life balance. So it's been a very positive experience, but I also got offered a job with a company called Crossfield Digital, where I actually did software development. So I had a very busy schedule going into the beginning of the year. So I made the decision that I wasn't going to run for re-election for vice chair. It's just my life got a little bit demanding, making this new career change, a lot of changes in my life. So I didn't want to serve another term if I couldn't be as active as I was during the term that I did serve. So with that, and that was before any of this coronavirus stuff happened. But then the coronavirus stuff happens, and that causes some friction within the party, friction between the bylaws, friction between sort of the realities of the context that we're in, where governments are shutting things down and having a convention during a presidential year. Like, it was just like basically everything kind of culminated and resulted in a situation where during the live portion of our national convention, I had to preside, which, I mean, I've served in different roles at different levels in the party, as far as like being like a web director, being, media director, like, usually marketing, social media type roles, never chair. So chairing a meeting, I've never chaired a meeting at the county level, never chaired a meeting at the state level. So here I am, the first meeting I ever have to chair, and it's the national convention, and not just any national convention. It's the first hybrid national convention of any political party ever, where I'm dealing with over 1,000 people, not only in the room, which was a giant, because of social distancing, we had this giant room with a lot, that was like a big, like, the acoustics were horrible, so you just all you hear were like echoes. So I'm dealing with people in the room and online, and there's this huge sort of like disagreement or tension about like what is the proper way to handle sort of like who can participate, when they can participate, and whatnot. So talk about baptism through fire. But overall, it went well. I mean, again, all things considered, like, I don't imagine how that could have gone all that much differently. Like, I try to imagine other scenarios and how certain bottlenecks in the process would have played out in different scenarios. And overall, it could happen the way it happened. Like, it's just sort of reaffirms sort of my belief in some level of, like, fate and, that the world puts you where you need to be when you need to be there. So I was glad that I was in that role at that time. There were definitely some moments where my unique level of patience and tolerance was necessary. So it worked out. And it was a great way to sort of end my tenure as the vice chair of the Libertarian Party. And definitely was a moment filled with a lot of tears and a time I'll always look very fondly on. Not that I'll never want to come back. I do want to be involved like I was. It's just, time. And I mean, with that, start thinking about what's going to come next. I mean, my career is going pretty well. I'm building up a whole new sort of presence in the development world, making videos, blogs, podcasting, in web development grand, and that's been going pretty well. So if you haven't subscribed to those YouTube channels, if you're interested in development, do so. But not only that, it's just like, also, what do I want to do with my political activism? At the end of the day, what I care about, sort of where I'm at this point, is that I generally agree with every libertarian position on policy, but at the end of the day, like, to create the world we want to create, we do need a world where we all just, like, respect each other more, are kind to each other, are more tolerant to each other, because, you know, generally, if you hate people, you're less likely to want to give them rights or respect their rights or something like that. So there is sort of a level of, like, we need to not necessarily, like, all love and approve of everything everyone does, but just find a place where we can coexist peacefully, where we can have a respect for each other's existence, okay, and a willingness to forgive each other when we make mistakes and things like that, that just allow society to stay connected enough to have markets that allow us to be more prosperous, to and allow a lot of those sort of virtuous cycles to sort of that improve all of our lives. So generally, my focus now is really just trying to spread that positivity, spread more like those improvements of sort of like a culture where we can coexist, less so necessarily in harping on economic policy and whatnot like I used to, just because I still believe in those things, and those things to me are still very important. I don't think we can really reach that until you fix this sort of more fundamental cultural division. So that's sort of my focus. A lot of people have encouraged me to kind of, you know, jump back into the national scene, whether it's running for LNC of some sort. The problem is, I really like everyone who's on the LNC right now. So, you know, there's no one there I'd want to run against. There's no one there I really would want not there. And me running would imply that someone else would have to not be there. So, right now, I feel like that's off the table, because I'm very happy with sort of the crop of people who are there right now. I'm very happy with sort of just the culture of the party, in the party's leadership, in recent times. Then people have encouraged me to run for the national stage, in the sense that, like, thinking of, like, the presidential or vice presidential slot. And that is, again, it's like, I mean, hey, I shared a convention, a national convention, about having chaired a little more local one. So, I mean, I'm not one who isn't willing to rise to the occasion, but we have some people who are in the pipeline who are really good selections, who are people who I believe in quite earnestly, as tempted as I am to have that sort of national platform, to speak with some of the ideas that are very important to me. So that to me is kind of like off the table, unless suddenly there's this huge groundswell of support for such a thing. But, like, you know, I mean, my goal in life is to fix that fundamental cultural division. So I'm trying to think of ways to kind of... Where can I have a national, doesn't necessarily have to be a formal role, but to have a national role where I'm sort of campaigning nationally towards that end of breeding a world where we are kinder, more live and let live, and not just because we think about it like we're philosophically there, but we also just have a appreciation for each other as individuals and people that can facilitate that type of sort of libertarian world. So that is going to... So trying to think through, like, what form that takes, we'll see. I'm definitely something I'm batting around my head, but I will probably become more vocal, record podcasts more frequently, as warranted. But I'll probably stick to the kind of way I've done things now, where basically I'll record a podcast episode when I have something to say. And another big thing is that I have... you know, take a look at a lot of my older video content, and there's a lot of it that I would kind of like to restate. So a lot of it I have made, I did not remove it from YouTube, but I have marked it as unlisted. So if there's any older video that you would like to see again, just reach out to me and I'll send you the link. But I'm going to be trying to also remake a lot of videos to kind of revisit a lot of those topics, you know, with better audio, clearer thoughts now that I've had a lot more time to think about a lot of these things. And hopefully that'll be enjoyable. So if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, subscribe to that YouTube channel. I have lots of YouTube channels, whether depending on what you're looking for, but you'll know the politics one when you see it. It's the youtube.com/AlexMerced. And if you want to follow my coding, just go to alexmercedcoder.com. You can find all that stuff there. Or just go to alexmerced.com and you'll find whatever you're looking for somehow there. So, yeah, so that's sort of my end of the year. I'm excited for 2021. I'm optimistic about the future. I'm optimistic about libertarianism. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, governments at every level have spent so much money over the last year that they really have, I mean, the hopes of sort of large-scale government programs are kind of out the window now. So in that case, libertarianism is no longer like, oh, this would be a better idea. It's now kind of like, this is what you have to do. Like there just isn't the money for this kind of top-down control. There isn't the resources for that. Like, how do we govern a country without that? Libertarians are the only ones who kind of think about that. Like, how do you govern? How does a society exist where we don't micromanage everything and take everybody's resources? Or, you know, so that message, the thing is, we just have to wrap that around a much more positive wrapper that focuses on sort of how, one, this is a better move forward to maintain society, and also just how it unites us, not divides us, and how we need to focus on the things that bring us together, not spread us apart. So, yeah, my name is Alex Merced. You guys know the deal. If you liked the episode, share with your friends, and I will see you guys in 2021. But have a happy new year, and I am excited for things to come. I'm very optimistic about the Libertarian Party. They had a great year in 2021, as you've seen in previous episodes where I've kind of broken this down, where there was a clear departure. Because again, you have to think about sort of tiers, okay? So while, you know, the third parties as a whole did not get a huge share of the vote this year as a presidential election, which is expected because it's a very divisive election, among all the non-duopoly parties, the data is very clear. There's the Libertarian Party and everybody else. Like, we got record numbers of vote totals, where everybody else kind of got underperformed, got almost nothing. And then this is a year where we ran a candidate who I really enjoyed the ticket of Joe Jorgensen and Spike Cohen, but they were a ticket that had like less name recognition, less resources than some of our more recent past, yet they were still able to perform very well, all things considered. Again, when you take a look at vote totals, I think we even won a county somewhere. And we won, we had a state legislature win, we had other very close state legislature races. Overall, like, in a year where basically, where all the headwinds you could possibly ask for are there for a emerging party, we were the only emerging party that was able to cross the threshold of those headwinds and actually show progress. So in that case, if we can progress in that environment, that shows me that we have a lot of potential continue moving forward, and I'm pretty excited about the path forward. So otherwise, I'll see you guys next year. Have a great one. Ciao.